coming up on KUCB News, the alleged Fort Lauderdale airport shooter's Alaska connection, and more. Stay tuned.
Local News is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Monday, January 9th, 2017. The Museum of the Aleutians has a new executive director, Dr. Virginia Hatfield. She took the reins at the beginning of this month. Hatfield is an archaeologist by training. She says she fell in love with the field during an undergrad class called Prehistory of Texas.
What really sunk it for me is we went out at spring break to the desert down on the border of Texas and recorded rock art in a rock shelter. And the desert was in full bloom, and I was working with a bunch of volunteers who were, you know, anywhere from 30 to 70 years old, and everybody was just happy to be there and happy to be doing this work.
She loved the combination of natural sciences and humanities. 6 years after that, she made her first trip to the Aleutians. She was a grad student and went to Attu for an excavation. Over the years, she slowly worked her way west with digs on Shemya, Boldir, and Adak. And when she started working on a PhD, she spent more time in Unalaska. The museum was a base for her research, but she never planned on living here.
I really didn't think I would move here, especially after I finished my PhD. I didn't know that I would be successful in generating research grants to come out here and kind of reconnect with it.
She started a contract archaeology business.
And I thought I was sentenced to Texas and the heat, and you know, I know that archaeology well and I love Texas, I really do, but I don't like heat, I really don't.
And while that's where her family is, she's glad to be back in Unalaska.
Boy, just can't beat the archaeology out here and the community and the grandeur of the natural world here. It's just so wonderful. I just love it.
Hatfield is excited for the new challenge of being a museum director. It's her first foray into working in a museum full-time, and she has big plans. She's in the middle of a complete inventory of the entire museum and planning for a community archaeology program that could start this summer.
We will be out and doing some projects where people, volunteers, can come out and do excavation, screening, if they want to come into the lab and do cleaning the artifacts and learn how to analyze them, catalog and analyze them, then we welcome everybody to come partake on that.
Hatfield says it's an opportunity for budding archaeologists and curious community members to get hands-on experience. But before that gets underway, she has her first event planned, a reception this Friday for a mini-exhibit on bone fishing tools. Later this year, a traveling exhibit featuring pieces from Alaskan artists will come to the Museum of the Aleutians. The exhibit, called Living Alaska, originated at the Anchorage Museum, thanks to funds from the Rasmussen Foundation. After Anchorage, the exhibit visited Homer, Juneau, and Fairbanks, and the pieces are now in Kodiak. KMXT's Kayla DeRoche visited the museum right before the opening.
During museum after hours, two women are doing quiet, careful work, setting up exhibit cases.
It's just shy of 2.5.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
So at least it's nice and secure, so there's going to be no movement if the case accidentally gets bumped.
That's Anchorage Museum conservator Sarah Owens. She came to help Aleutic Museum collections and exhibit specialist Alexandra Painter to unpack and arrange the pieces. Owens says the items arrived in crates wrapped in foam and plastic. Also packed away with the objects is a condition book.
It's got all the information about the object, its name, the artist, what materials it's made from, and the condition that it was in initially when it was first assessed, and also at each venue. So we can make sure, we're making sure nothing's happened in transportation and nothing's happened during display.
the 25 pieces fall into three categories: artwork inspired by the Alaska environment, Alaska Native art, and contemporary art. Owens, wearing blue gloves, picks up a bowl so delicate you can see her fingers through the material.
We handle them as if they're a very precious tiny bird, very carefully. We're not putting pressure on the material. With these two pieces here, one is the fish skin bowl. Fish skin inherently can get very dry, very brittle. It's also sewn, so I'm going to be super careful, making sure that there's no tears in the skin, no tears along the seams.
The bowl's beadwork, which can loosen over time, requires similar care.
So we just need to make sure that everything's securely attached and that when we're handling, we're being very careful and not putting any undue stress to the object.
The exhibit is visiting Kodiak for just a short time. It moves on in March. I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Officials in Anchorage held a press conference on Saturday regarding what's known about Esteban Santiago, the alleged shooter in Friday's attack at the Fort Lauderdale airport. As Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, in spite of known mental health concerns, police returned a firearm to Santiago last month.
Good afternoon.
Special Agent Marlon Ritzman says in November of last year, Santiago came into the Bureau's Anchorage office complaining a government agency was controlling his mind and making him watch ISIS videos.
During our initial investigation, we found no ties to terrorism.
Local officials laid out a detailed chronology of Santiago's contact with law enforcement over the course of the last year, beginning in January of 2016 and involving Santiago's girlfriend at their Fairview home. A series of domestic violence incidents were reported to police, but few of them led to any arrests or charges. By November of last year, Santiago had what Anchorage Police Chief Chris Tolley called a mental health crisis and walked into the FBI's office with complaints of terroristic thoughts.
Santiago had a loaded magazine on him, but had left his firearm in his vehicle prior to contacting agents. Also in the vehicle was Santiago's newborn child.
APD officers later brought Santiago to a mental health facility where he was admitted. APD also confiscated his firearm for safekeeping. But because Santiago was never adjudicated mentally ill, Tolley says they later returned the weapon, which may be the one used in Friday's shooting.
There is speculation that this is the same gun. I have not received confirmation that it, in fact, is that gun.
The FBI says they believe Santiago acted alone when he planned and carried out the attack. According to U.S. District Attorney Karen Loeffler, there's no federal rule that would have prohibited Santiago from legally transporting a firearm on a commercial flight. Santiago is a decorated former member of the Puerto Rico and Alaska National Guards, and he was deployed to Iraq as a combat engineer from 2010 to 2011. He was given a general discharge from the Alaska National Guard in August of last year, according to Lieutenant Colonel Candace Olmsted. Investigators haven't yet determined a motive for why Santiago flew to South Florida for the attack. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Thousands of Alaskans lost their jobs in 2016, and in the forecast for 2017, it doesn't look like the economy is going to stop shrinking anytime soon. Oil prices, the foundation of the state's economy, have rebounded slightly, but not enough to balance the state's budget. State economists say cuts in oil, construction, and the public sector have been so deep they're causing job losses in nearly every other sector of the economy. Alaska's Department of Labor and Workforce Development is predicting job losses in nearly every sector of the state's economy. But oil industry losses, the catalyst for the state's rapidly shrinking economy, are expected to slow. According to the state's employment forecast for 2017, the oil industry is still expected to shed 1,400 jobs this year. While oil prices are the main driver for the economy, state economist Caroline Schultz says the big unknown is political.
Legislative decisions and budget decisions made by the legislature and the governor, I mean, we don't have as good of a read on how that's all going to pan out as we do on oil prices.
She says whatever the legislature decides to do this year probably won't solve all the state's budget problems, but it could go a long way towards bolstering consumer confidence and encouraging new businesses. Sectors of the economy like arts and entertainment and recreation will see big losses in 2017 as people spend less money. And while a good tourist season will help with that loss, this year could be rough on restaurants and bars. The financial services are also expected to take a hit as real estate and demand for financing slows. And the public sector will be thinned again as well. At least 1,300 jobs were cut in 2016, and Governor Bill Walker introduced a budget in mid-December that calls for another 400 state jobs to be cut by December of this year. There are some bright spots. The healthcare industry is expected to keep adding jobs as the state's population ages. In fact, it's the only industry forecasted to grow, adding 500 new jobs this year. And military construction spending is up. Schultz says there weren't a lot of surprises for economists when they were crunching the numbers for the 2017 forecast.
We're kind of past the hard part where we had to predict, you know, when the rough times were going to start. So now we definitely can, in retrospect, identify that, you know, they really started in 2016.
The new excitement, she says, is to predict when the state will start to come out of this slump. But that likely won't happen in 2017. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.